Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
In the past, I've written about the image dog dilemma. These are dogs belonging to breeds that elicit strong emotional responses from the people who own the animals and often the public who interact with them. These are breeds like pit bulls, Rottweilers, German Shepherd dogs, Dobermans, Malamutes, Huskies, and also Golden and Labrador Retrievers. There has also been a tendency for some people to characterize these breeds according to the killer marshmallow approach. Some people consider all dogs of certain breeds killers and all dogs of other breeds marshmallows. According to this logic, all pit bulls, Rottweilers, Dobermans, German Shepherd dogs, Huskies, Malamutes are evil. All Labs and Goldens are perfect. Of course, we know this isn't true. These images are the result of a process called Disneyfication. Dogs are presented by the media in movies, books, cartoons, assuming one or the other trait, and the public assumes that all dogs of that breed have those characteristics. Of course, they don't. There are good ones and bad ones in all breeds. And how they respond in any particular situation is a function of a lot of other things besides breed. For example, those relative to territory are so deeply entrenched in the canine psyche that the probability that their foundation resides in that small percentage of DNA that separates the breeds is exceedingly low. But now we have a new wrinkle to add to this positive and negative breed prejudice. We have the prescribed and self-anointed psychiatric or emotional support animals. Sometimes I come across websites that automatically assume that Labs or Goldens are going to be the ideal psychiatric support animal. Apparently, the assumption is that all people love them. Or maybe the assumption is that they're easy to train. One assumption appears to be that those with emotional disabilities are one size fits all. They all want a dog belonging to a breed who is more likely to elicit a positive response from members of the public. But suppose that isn't true. Suppose some people just want to be left alone. They want to slowly integrate themselves back into the mainstream. But they don't want to be overwhelmed. They don't want to attract people to them. They just want to be left alone. Under those circumstances, a dog that society is conditioned to think of as a lovable pet who loves everybody and wants everyone to love him, this might not be such a good idea. On the other hand, if we go to the opposite end of the spectrum, to the dog breeds that carry a negative emotional charge of some people, this might not be so good either. It's a delicate balance that has to be struck. Perhaps what that person needs is a breed that carries no emotional charge whatsoever. The dog functions just as a neutral presence, offering support to the handler when needed, helping that person out of that environment when the person becomes overwhelmed. We all attach emotional charges to our animals. If we didn't, there wouldn't be any reason to have them, would there? But still, when we're talking about using animals as a way to compensate for our own vulnerabilities, we and those who recommend the use of these animals need to take two things into account. It's not only about how the person who handles or uses the animal feels about that animal and any emotional charges they impose on that animal and how those might affect that animal's behavior. It's also about how that animal's appearance will affect other people. Whether it will elicit fear or apprehension or charging up to someone who wants to be alone. It's a complex situation, and there certainly isn't a one-size-fits-all answer to it.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.